KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
It's 12:15. The agenda has begun here at News Radio 560 KPQ. Good afternoon. Michael Knight here, and the room is full of Corvette men and women. Yeah, if you drive by KPQ today, you'll see a beautiful black Corvette, a beautiful red Corvette, which I believe is mine now, and also a blue one that I'm just going to give to the first person that comes by and says, I can correctly spell Corvette, and I know why the name is called Corvette. So, consider this, friends. Cars and the Middle Ages, those are our topics today, two topics. Never shall the twain meet? Well, perhaps. The car in question is called the Chevrolet Corvette. First question is, how did it get its name? Let's go back to 1953. GM executives were looking to name the new sports car. They had no idea what to call it, but the assistant director of public relations, who's Myron Scott, well-remembered Myron, back in Detroit, suggested Corvette, named after the small, maneuverable warship of the same name. They don't have much in common today, but you can't look at that car without saying, Vet. It's a Corvette. The name...
This is an activation of the Amber Alert system. We have just received this important information regarding an abducted child in Spokane County. The Spokane County Sheriff's Office is looking for a child who was last seen at 12808 East Blossy Avenue in the Spokane Valley and is believed to be in danger. The child's name is Ethan Robertson. He is 5 years old with brown hair and brown eyes, weighing 30 pounds, and was last seen wearing blue pajamas, an orange Nike t-shirt and black Adidas shorts. Authorities say the child may be in the company of Justin P. Robertson, who is a 42-year-old white male, 5 feet 9 inches tall, weighing 205 pounds with green eyes and a goatee beard. He was last seen wearing a green Adidas t-shirt and black Adidas shorts. They may be traveling in a 2014 red Subaru Legacy with Washington license plate, APN 2450. The direction of travel is unknown at this time. If you have any information on the whereabouts of this child, please call 911 or contact the Spokane County Sheriff's Office immediately at 509-456-2233.
What they're talking about. Yes, now I see. Too bad the year is 1261, and in the year of our broken water pump, we have no gasoline in all of Europe to fuel this beauty. It would be handy, but also we have no roads. No highway patrol, no rest areas, no corn nuts and Slurpees at the Arco PM, no on-ramps. In fact, we have no concept of non-horse horsepower, except for that local alchemist who fell victim to spontaneous combustion, which is different. He burned down his hut and most of London, which good riddance to all the fleas, by the way. And although I do miss the pie maker from Dirt Alley, now, he didn't have a Corvette, but he had a gift. And it seemed his gift would always coincide with a missing dog in the neighborhood. But all I want to say is, good meat pies. Oof. Now let's go to our special guests. Those are the jokes, folks. Our special guests, let's meet Bill Haugen, Jim McDonald, and also Renee Perkins from the Humane Society. Mr. Haugen and Mr. McDonald are members in good standing with the Wenatchee Valley Corvette Club. Thank you for bringing your beautiful cars and parking them in front of the station today. I appreciate that.
You betcha.
Let's talk about this weekend. Apparently, you guys are going to drive Corvettes somewhere not that far away. What's your plans?
Well, this weekend, on Friday night, we're going to start out with people that stay in, like out at the Comfort Inn and Spring Hill Suites and stuff. And they're going to go up to Hot Rod Cafe around 4 o'clock. And we all go up there for a get-together in Monitor there.
That's on Friday, right?
Friday night, uh-huh. And then...
Can you come in like a Toyota, or do you have to have a hot rod?
Well, you can go up there and look.
They let me come in. I don't have a Corvette.
You can drive by, slow down, but if you don't have a Corvette, keep going.
And so, a lot of people go up for that, too, and then a lot of people pick up the registrations at the same time up there, make things go a little smoother for Saturday morning. Because Saturday morning, we're going to be bringing out about 100 Corvettes out there at the dam site, and this is how much the show has grown over the years. Jim, can you relate to that a little bit? But the Wenatchee Valley Corvette Club, also known as the Blossom Buddy sponsor, because we threw in some donations for the Apple Blossom Festival, that the 100th annual Washington State Apple Blossom Festival. So anyhow, it's our 8th annual. It's called Nothing But Vets, and also known as the best Corvette show by a dam site.
In fact, it's the only Corvette show by a dam site, probably.
I believe so.
The only one that I know of.
Yeah. And so, and we have a good time, you know, toying with the words, you know, describing it. And but this year, you know, it's been so good because on registration, I've been getting calls from Boise, Idaho, Lapine, Oregon, Trails, B.C., and so Anacortes.
They're just looking for an excuse to drive their car down.
Right. Yeah, like you said, you know, we're
get
just pulling them out of
and on the road.
Pulling them out of hibernation, you know, just in the last few weeks. And so people are anxious to go and stuff.
Since you gassed it up and got your cars all clean and ready for the street, how many miles have you driven? Probably not too many. Getting closer, Jim. Yeah.
One thing I'd like to add.
Get closer to your mic, Jim.
This particular show, since we started it back in 2010, has turned into what is referred to in the Northwest as the season opener for the Corvette show season. And all of the other clubs from around the Northwest that come over here keep kind of prompting us to keep going and building it because they look forward to coming to Wenatchee the week of Apple Blossom Festival for this particular show.
Let me guess about what guys who have Corvettes do when they meet another club who has Corvettes. They talk about what?
Well, we talk about Corvettes a lot.
Yeah.
Now, were you guys in car clubs when you were kids?
No, I wasn't.
I was.
You were?
Yeah.
Were you a greaser or a surfer?
A what?
Well, a lot of at my high school, the guys that were all involved with cars were on the greaser side.
Oh, okay. No,
the guys who drove beat up station wagons were the surfers.
I was pretty clean. We started a club in Antioch where I grew up called the Flamingos.
There you go.
That's when I was in high school.
And did you have metal plates that you could see in the rear view?
Yep.
Oh, baby, mm-hmm. Those were great.
Yep.
And what did the Flamingos do besides run away from trouble?
Well, back in those days of Flamingos, we just met, and we had, you know, little mini shows. There weren't too many people with what we called street. Back in those days, it wasn't Corvettes. It was street rods and customs.
Yeah.
But we used to do community service. We would help clean up the park, that type of thing, help distressed motorists when they're pulled off the side of the road, just try to get a good name.
Giving your car club a good name.
Yes. Get a good name for the people that drove what I consider to be pretty nice rides.
Absolutely. I'm sure they were. What were you driving?
I was driving a 53 Chevy with a French grill with doorknobs in it, French 54 headlights and taillights. It was lowered with Fiesta hubcaps.
Whoa! Did you do all the work yourself?
I did, yes.
I'm impressed. Well, we owe you a debt of gratitude. The 53 Chevy needed some adjustments.
It did. It was a nice-looking ride.
It was a nice-looking ride. Mm-hmm. And those are the years they had those panel trucks, too.
Oh, I'd love to have one of those sedan deliveries, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, when's the first time you got a Corvette, Jim?
My first Corvette came to me in 1965.
It just came to you in a dream?
Well, no, kind of. I worked for it. But I purchased a 1963 N65. It was a Roadster, and I just loved it. And I drove it for a couple of years, parted with it, and then I couldn't stand it. I ended up having another one. So over the course of my life, I've owned about 44.
44? Wow. You have some trouble making up your mind there, don't you?
Well, not really. I used to restore them, so I would buy them in whatever condition they might in, and I'd part them out for parts to use on my projects, that type of thing.
I feel sorry for the members of your club because so many months of the year their cars are under wraps someplace safe, I take it.
Well, it's in my garage downstairs, which is heated, and I spend a lot of time polishing it.
Just going down to see how it is.
Yep.
Do you have to start it up in the winter months or you just let it sit?
I usually start it every month, yeah. Warm it up, let it run for a half hour, let it.
I feel like, though, in the Wenatchee Valley, we're pretty lucky. We get a lot of sun. You probably, how many months do you think you get to drive it out of the year?
Six.
See, that's pretty good.
It's just that you're afraid that all the terrible things that can happen to your paint and your windows and the shine and everything else that's on that car.
See, I never drive mine until after the the street crews and Department of Transportation have had their street sweepers out.
No way, he said. I'm not going until the streets are clean. Well, Bill, what was your first pet?
I had a 55 Chevy two-door hardtop, and that was, you know, we just looked at racing back then. I didn't belong to a car club growing up up in Shasta Dryden, where I went to school at. And so then later on went to the Camaros. And I never did care for the Vets, but in 63 when they had that split window, I really liked it, you know. But I just always felt I couldn't afford it, and so I stuck with Camaros until the C7s came out in 2014.
Too much temptation.
And I saw a picture of that, and I says, I got it right. And so I bought one, and I haven't regretted it since then. And, you know, like any other car that you have, you can have horsepower in them, but that horsepower seems to fade because you get used to it and stuff. And the same thing happened on this one, you know, the, my 2014. And so I had work done to it 2 years in a row. And so now I've got it sitting at 791 horsepower.
Wow.
And it's full of pep. Let's just put it that way.
Full of interesting notions.
Yeah.
Well, what do you do when you have to get your horsepower up? Where do you take it?
Well, I take it to Kaizen Speed down in Tri-Cities. That's where I work at during the week, and then I still live here.
So you're in the speed business no matter what it is?
Yeah, I like it.
Whatever.
That was the biggest smile, too.
I like on-ramps, you know.
Whatever you got, it can go faster if after Mr. Hagen.
Yeah.
So, well, you mentioned the split windows in the Corvette, Stingray.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading about that today. There was an argument in the design section at General Motors. The guy who came up with the Stingray won the argument, but only for 1 year, because he said it must have the split window. And the head designer says it ruins the look out the back window. And he said, but that's the way we want it.
Yeah.
So he won for 1 year. The next year they fired him and got and the head man and the department got to have his single window in the back.
Yeah.
Terrible mistake.
It is a classic, that's for sure.
But they're valuable now.
Yeah.
That split window makes them.
It makes it exactly what it is.
We have a guy from Spokane coming over with his 63. He's had it at big car shows down Carlisle, and he's won awards in it. And so when I was talking to him the other day, he's trailing it over here for the car show.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to that. And yeah.
So the 100 cars are going to be representing how many clubs, do you think?
I'd say at least a dozen.
Yeah.
Clubs from throughout the Northwest. One club from Canada comes down. We have Portland, Oregon. They usually send a contingency. They had 36 cars here last year.
Ooh.
And Spokane is a big supporter. Most of their club bring their cars over. And these are the people that have been kind of encouraging us to keep our show going on this apple blossom date every year, so they can. It's usually the first weekend we have any decent weather,
and it's going to be that way this weekend, the 27th and 28th. All the proceeds go to benefit the Wenatchee Valley Humane Society, and Renee represents that. What do you guys? How much money do you raise, and why do you need it?
Well, last year you raised over $5,000 at this event, and we are just so grateful. Gosh, we have so many needs.
How many dogs and cats do you have right now?
Currently, boy, I don't know. Our dog kennels are real full. Our cat kennels are fairly full. And we have kittens coming in because it is officially kitten season.
It's always kitten season, isn't it?
No, there's like maybe 1 or 2 months. No, it slows down. But, for instance, last year we spent $273,000 on medical.
Wow.
On animals at the shelter.
$273,000.
Yeah.
Phew. Yeah. That's a lot of dough.
Yeah, so these guys are fantastic.
That's a lot of catnip.
That's a lot. He has a lot of catnip, a lot of surgeries, a lot of x-rays. Yeah.
This is how I got involved on this thing, is because my wife, Susan Albert, she is a big fan of the Humane Society. And so when I saw an opportunity to, you know, work on something for her, you know, that's when I was inspired. And so, but I think also it's important to mention about how on the Humane Society, and this is sad to say, is how they ran out of food.
I know.
A couple weeks
ago. Put on
we are still actually out of food. We have our pet food bank.
Explain how people can help.
If you would like to help supply our pet food bank, which goes out to people in need in the community who have pets, bring a bag of food, down to the shelter.
And not a little bag. Get one of those 50-pounders.
Yeah, just and it can be any brand, cat food, dog food. We need all of it right now. There's a lot of people in need in our community.
Is it true that cats shouldn't eat dog food and dogs shouldn't eat cat food? Because God knows in whatever home you have, they do.
They do, but they shouldn't. Okay. It's, you know, the foods are designed for...
One for the other.
One for the other, yes.
What about having a big dog like a 180-pound golden retriever in the front seat with you in a Corvette? Acceptable or unacceptable?
I've never seen it happen. What about you, Jim?
I've never hauled a dog around in mine, no.
Dogs can walk. If the only ride they're going to get is in a Corvette, I'm sorry, but the dog will be walking.
Yes.
What's considered the best polish for a Corvette? Are you guys in agreement on anything?
Oh, nobody's in agreement on anything.
Nope.
Everybody's got their favorites. There's all these new things coming out now. They have these films, the clear films they put over, and then they have a ceramic coating that can be put over that, and this is all... taking the place of sealers and Carnauba waxes. The best thing you can do to the Corvette, first of all, is you got to get rid of all the swirl marks in the paint, and there's a polishing process you go through for that. And then whatever you put on it to keep it polished, that's a matter of personal preference.
I like that idea. But at least it's worthy to talk about it, right? That's another thing the guys can talk about at the Corvette Club. What do you agree on? Tires? Anything? Oil? Synthetic oil?
I think they agree on Corvettes.
They agree. But not the year, the model, or the horsepower.
No, there's a lot of conversation about this at the meet. You know, the horsepower, the tires. And Corvette people are always comparing tires, brakes. Brake pads are a big item. You know, and then some people track their cars. That means they take them to racetracks and pace so they can run around the track all day long. And that's great. I don't do that because I don't want to tear my car up.
I know.
This is what we do at these meets. People compare notes and compare what they do, and I get suggestions all the time from other Corvette owners, and I go home and try them out and see how it fits in my...
Go ahead.
I take the shortcut, and I just ask Jim. He kind of coaches me. You know,
I understand that the worst thing that happened to a Corvette owner is the one that he sells. Is that true? That's the one that that always got away?
I've had a couple of pretty nice Corvettes in my time. The 54 and the 63 split went a coupe. My wife drove it to work for 7 years here in Wenatchee, even in the winter.
Wow.
But those two cars, I just loved them. I ended up selling them. But, you know, I moved on, and I don't look back. I got pictures and memories.
Well, you moved on rather effectively. Could you describe this red rocket that sits in front of the station?
Well, I got another one sitting home in the garage, too.
Oh, God. Is there no end to this, Jim?
No, he stacks them up.
Describe your car out here, and then you can tell us the one about the one you didn't bring.
Well, this one out here is a 2017. It was it's what they call a Grand Sport, and 2017 is the first Grand Sport they came out with in the C7 style. I ordered that at Cascade Auto Center and elected to take delivery in Bowling Green, Kentucky at the factory.
Ooh.
Pat and I got to have a tour of the factory, and they treated us like kings. The car was sitting on Corvette Boulevard in the Corvette Museum on display for a week before we picked it up.
Wow.
So then we took 3 or 4 weeks coming back from Kentucky and made a trip out of it.
Excellent. Now, what are you driving today, Bob?
Bill, sorry.
I had you confused with Bob Hyatt. I'm sorry, Bob Hyatt. Bill Haugen?
Yes. I have a 2014 Stingray. And that thing was, like I said, I saw a picture of it, and I ordered it in August of 13 and wasn't even going to get it until May of 14. And so all the other Grand Sports, stuff like that, weren't even in the marketplace yet. And so I wanted to have one of the new Corvettes, so I gambled. Sight unseen, and it's got to be good.
Oh, yeah.
And when I looked at that out at Cascade Auto, I got home from Tri-Cities, and there it was sitting there idling, you know, with the running lights on, and I went, wow, that's mine?
What do you recommend, buying it like you did on order, or just getting one off the showroom floor, which is probably pretty rare?
Geez, you know, I would order them, you know, get them exactly what you want. And I had to be coached by my salesman you know, because I didn't know what was all in a Corvette.
You'd never seen one of these before.
I never paid any attention to the details and stuff, you know, and so he coached me through, and I'm totally satisfied. I don't want a new one. I want exactly what I got.
Remember he said that, everybody. Remember he said that right here. We're talking to the members of the Wenatchee Valley Corvette Club. Somebody tell us one more time what we're doing this weekend, please.
The Corvette Club has their car show out at the dam. It's known as the best Corvette show by a dam site. And we have that to for the Corvette owners, the spring opener, pretty much. And we started out with our deal up at the Hot Rod Cafe on Friday night, and then get our registration and stuff, and then people go out there to the dam.
And you can go out there, too, even if you're driving a Volkswagen.
So that, yeah. Most certainly, because the people, the kids, that's the part I love about it, is that they're just so in awe of the cars.
Rocket,
you know,
ships.
And I let them sit in mine, and other owners, they don't like nobody around them.
I've noticed that about Corvette owners.
But I will let them, you know, I'll start it up for them, because mine's loud also, and they just get a big kick out of it, you know.
So do you, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
He's over there giggling about it.
But it's free and open to the public, and there'll be a 50-50 raffle that proceeds will go to benefit the Wenatchee Valley Humane Society.
The Wenatchee Valley Humane Society benefits from the whole thing. This weekend, Saturday, 9 to 3 at Rocky Reach. Corvette owners everywhere, thank you for coming by. You guys are crazy.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
12:40 in the afternoon. A lot of activity this weekend. We just talked to you about the Wenatchee Valley Corvette Club. They'll be at the Rocky Reach Dam Saturday, the 27th, 9 to 3. Now we're going to talk about something else that's going on that weekend. Joining me on the phone is Deborah Johansson of the Medieval Fair. Deborah, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful to talk with you. You're going to have a great fair this weekend in Kashmir at the fairgrounds, both the 27th and 28th, the Two Rivers Medieval Fair, which is sort of like the Renaissance fairs that have been held elsewhere. Am I correct about that?
Absolutely correct.
Well, how did you get involved? I imagine you go in costume and speak in dialect, right?
Well, I had, for the very first fair 12 years ago, I had some dancers perform, and we just kind of got sucked in over the years. It's so much fun. You know, people get to play dress up for a change and, you know, and be somebody else for the weekend.
It is a lot of fun. There's a lot of people there. Well, you're going to have knights jousting. Now, that's tough. I don't know if you've ever seen a real joust, but people get knocked from here to there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is full contact jousting. Yeah, nothing sissy about this one.
You got to, I guess the horse knows what he's doing, but nobody else seems to.
The horses are well trained.
What's your favorite part about the medieval fair, other than all the work you have to do to get it up?
Well, I like watching the people having so much fun. The kids especially. We've got a lot of good free entertainment for the kids, lots of activities for them to do, including the dragon egg hunt this year, which we did last year, and it was very, very successful. And we have an adult version because the adults were saying, hey, we want to do this, too.
We want to look for dragon eggs, too.
Yeah.
And of course, there's an opportunity to buy a lot of wares that might have been created by hand during the Middle Ages.
A lot of handmade items to shop for. Yeah, things you'll never see anywhere else except another medieval fair, right?
And this is held at the fairgrounds in Kashmir, correct?
Right. We are inside
the covered area?
Horse arena, yeah.
Yeah.
We're inside the horse arena, actually. There's a lot of grassy area for the merchants and for activities. And then you walk inside into the arena itself to watch the jousting.
Oh, the jousting is inside?
Yeah, it's inside the horse arena.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Where they have the rodeos, yeah.
And who's going to be entertaining us those days? A lot of people playing music from the Middle Ages?
Yes, actually, there's quite a bit of entertaining. We're going to have Master Payne. He's a renowned magician. We have some local performers. Amy Albright. We have a Curio. We also have Alicia Dart, who is a masterful hoop manipulator. We're going to have maypole dancing. We've got Adri the Juggler. We've got Zupa de Zonia.
What is Zupa de Zonia?
Zupa de Zonia is Italian comedic of impromptu.
Oh, he improvises.
Yeah, the two guys, and they improvise. They use traditional Italian masks when they do it.
Oh, like Commedia dell'arte.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah,
you
got the word, yeah. Also, we're having a children's dance group from Moscow, Idaho, called the Merry Missives, and then a local new group called the Castlebridge Dancers.
Excellent. Now, when you go to the food court, what's your favorite?
Oh, turkey legs.
And they're big ones. I mean, those are turkeys with extraordinary legs.
Yes, they are. Very curvy legs. Yeah, we've got turkey legs. We've got barbecue. We have ice cream. We've got cotton candy and caramel corn, espresso, mini donuts. Yeah, we've got a lot of good food this year.
So if you were able to visit medieval times, what year would you pick and what country would you choose?
Well, you know, considering ours is based on Wexford, Ireland in the year 1363, I think I would do that.
And what was so special about Wexford?
Well, it was peaceful and the plagues were over.
And just, so that was 1367?
1363.
Just almost 40 years to the Renaissance. So, I mean, if you could just hold on, things were going to get better.
Exactly, yeah. Renaissance came a little bit earlier. A lot of the fairs that do Renaissance themes have courts and such. We are a village. We're based on a village, so we have a mayor instead.
Ah, so you're like a shire.
Yes. Yes.
And where is Wexford a real place?
Wexford is a beautiful city in Ireland, and it's a port city. Mm-hmm.
And it's still there. And, great.
Oh, yeah, still there. It was originally settled by Vikings.
No one wants to get in the way of Vikings when they want to settle a town, I've noticed.
No. They sure don't.
There's Vikings everywhere.
Yes, and at our fair as well. We're going to have Roman and Viking battles. We'll have, you can get involved in a Viking shield wall battle class if you'd like.
Wow. Might be easy to get in, but hard to get out, right?
Yeah, that's true. No, they're very good. They're very good about it. You've got some big round Viking shields to protect you.
Let's talk about the cost. Can you tell us how much it costs to get in?
Yes, it's adults and teens 13 and up are $10. That's a one-day pass. Children 6 through 12 and seniors 65 plus are $7. And then children 5 and under are free, and there are weekend passes available.
And it takes a couple hours to see it all, so just relax and get used to it for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Just come, enjoy, sit down. We have our new Green Dragon Tavern. You can sit down and have some wines from pair-up ciders. And you watch the joust from that area as well.
How many of these have you done now, Deborah?
This is, well, we actually started out at the college as the Wenatchee Valley Renaissance Fair. And then this is the third year where we have in our new location and name out at the fairgrounds.
And has that worked out for you? You have more room and more attendees?
It's worked out great because the people out at the fairgrounds are fantastic, very helpful. And we have a lot of room out here.
You can take a look at their website, tworiversmedievalfair.com. That's one good place. It's the Two Rivers Medieval Fair for the 27th and the 28th. We'll come back and talk further with Deborah Johansson right after these words on News Radio 560 KPQ.
On News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's 12:51 on News Radio 560 KPQ. We're giving you some information today that you can use for the weekend. We talked about the Wenatchee Valley Corvette Club Saturday at the Rocky Reach Dam. Now we're talking about the Two Rivers Medieval Fair, both the 27th and the 28th this weekend at the Chelan County Fairgrounds. And the woman who's the brain trust behind this fair is Deborah Johansson, who's on the phone with me right now, giggling. There you go, Deborah. Aren't you the brain trust? Aren't you the smarty one who's in charge?
Some days yes, some days no.
Ah, that's the way it was in the Middle Ages. You were day-to-day. What's your favorite attraction in the thing? What do you like to sit down and just watch because it gives you pleasure?
Actually, before I was talking about the children, one of my favorites is the Fairy Glen. The kids can go and blow giant bubbles. We've got some giant bubble solution for them to play with. Make 6-foot-long bubbles. They get story time over there. It's just a lot of fantasy. And then right next door is more kids' activities. You can paint your own shield. Or decorate your own goblet and take them with you.
How crowded has your show been recently?
Saturday is nice and crowded. Sunday is also, a little less because it's Sunday. But I will give you a tip for some of your listeners. If they're not sure about coming, the last 2 hours on Sunday will be half price.
Aha, that's 10 to 4 on Sunday.
Yep.
10 to 6 on Saturday. Give us the who, what, where, when, and how. Yeah, go ahead, Deborah.
All right. Yeah, from 2 to 4 on Sunday is going to be half price.
There you go. Tell us, though, the information that we need to make our decision on where to go and how to do it.
All right. Well, we're going to be out at the Chelan County Fairgrounds. As you said, the 27th and 28th, 10 to 6 on Saturday, 10 to 4 on Sunday. The cost is $10 for adults and teens 13 and up. Children 6 through 12 and seniors 65 plus are $7. Children 5 and under are free.
And you can get tickets. You can get tickets online.
Tickets are available online at tworiversmedievalfair.org and also at the gate.
And the number 2 before Rivers. Two Rivers with the number 2.
Yes. The numeral 2 is opposed to TWO, yes.
And for the merriment of all, let's go back in time. When's the last time you had a chance to do that? Usually it's always forward into time, whether you're ready or not. Now we're going to willfully go back in time and way back,
yeah,
too.
Go way back, relax, and just be somewhere else and somebody else for the weekend.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Deborah Johansson. Next time I see you, it'll be 16/3/67 or something like that.
It could be.
I appreciate your time today. Have a great fun at the Two Rivers Medieval Fair this weekend.
We will. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Deborah. It's Deborah Johansson. The Two Rivers Medieval Fair is this weekend at the Chelan County Fairgrounds, 10 to 6 Saturday, 10 to 4 Sunday. And you can also then take in the Wenatchee Valley Corvette Club with all the proceeds to benefit the Wenatchee Valley Humane Society. 100 or more Corvettes this Saturday at the Rocky Reach Dam. In fact, you should be seeing Corvettes all over town as a result of this. People coming from British Columbia, from Idaho, from all over the state of Washington, Tri-Cities, elsewhere, name it, Spokane. They're coming in their vets to be part of the Wenatchee Valley Corvette Club's big deal at the best Corvette show by a dam site. In fact, the only Corvette show by a dam site at Rocky Reach on Saturday from 9 till 3.
Details at our website, apq.com.
Stock market in Wall Street, New York is ready to close.